The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, PeteEvans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
I'm great, man. How are you? Hey, how's the Aussies?
Hey, we're doing okay, I believe. Well, I can't speak for all the Aussies, but I'm doing really good, mate. So thank you for asking. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation, because you've interviewed some of the most amazing human beings, I would say, over the last year, that have stood up and shared their information. And I would love to know, what is the impetus for you, or the catalyst for you to be sharing the information that you share out there to the greater world?
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words that you shared. I hope it's not too blotchy on your end. You're kind of breaking up a little bit on your end. But I just want you to know that I didn't realize 2 years ago that I was going to have this huge spark that was going to explode this desire inside of me to constantly project a warning to the entire world that there is a grand scheme of evil to mass murder a whole lot of people. It was very obvious that this is what was going to happen the moment that I read Anthony Fauci's NIH protocol for all treated COVID-19 patients for hospitalized Americans. I knew this was a great setup, not just for America, but for the whole world. And when you read the memo that he created in the middle of May of 2020, it stated, we cannot use hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine. They've been proven against COVID-19 to cause heart failure and death. And that was okay. That wasn't my issue. My issue was, he said there's only one drug and one drug only that we could actually use during this pandemic in America. And it was called remdesivir. And it was an antiviral experimental drug. It was never FDA approved, was the obvious thing that I noticed first. And then I went to FDA.gov's website to see, is it actually FDA approved? No, it isn't. It never had been. Only to actually then refer in the memo, he said there were two studies that supported the use of remdesivir as the only treatment option for hospitalized COVID-19 Americans. One was a study done in Africa a year earlier on the Ebola virus. The other study was a 53-person study for 10 days in March of 2020 on COVID-19 positive patients. And when I read the results of both of these studies, I knew immediately that Anthony Fauci was lying to the entire world when he published that memo on NIH.gov. And this was the lie. He said that that drug was proven safe and effective against the Ebola virus and against the coronavirus in these 53 people, only to go look at the research study on Ebola. I went and clicked the hyperlink, read the entire study, only to find out that in that study, there was only four experimental drugs being used in four regions of Africa for an entire year. And the safety board for the study, halfway through that study in August of 2019, based on observing that remdesivir killed over 50% of all people they gave the drug to, that was the mortality rate for that drug. The other three drugs had lower mortality rates than remdesivir did. I knew immediately that he was lying. It was not proven safe and effective in the Ebola trial. It was proven to be the least effective and have the highest death toll. That's all I knew. The actual second study that was published in March of 2020 by the maker of remdesivir, it's called Gilead Sciences. What they published in their findings was when they gave COVID-19 patients 10 days of remdesivir, that drug was proven to cause multiple organ failure and acute kidney failure in 31% of all the people they gave it to between days 5 and 10. A couple of the people had to come off the drug because it killed their kidneys. They needed kidney transplants. So this is what he knew when he selected this drug to be pumped into all Americans. And I immediately, this is not a joke, I didn't know this was going to happen to me. What had happened was the realization was Anthony Fauci was going to use a protocol. And this protocol he was going to use in hospitals to shut down the kidneys of a lot of innocent Americans. He was going to flood their lungs with water called pulmonary edema, and he was going to call it COVID pneumonia. And he was going to have to vent these people because he was flooding their lungs with water when he was shutting down their kidneys with the proven kidney failing drug called remdesivir. And then he was going to tell the public that all the people being murdered in hospitals were actually dying from a virus going around America called COVID-19. And he was going to tell them all of the media, I knew he was going to do this. He was going to tell all the media that all these people are dying from the virus and you need to get a vaccine in the future. And the reason why I knew he was going to do this and how I knew how deadly this protocol was, just 3 months earlier in February of 2020, my father-in-law was murdered in 9 days in a hospital in Dallas, Texas, not with a COVID protocol, but with a hospital protocol they just blindly followed for the flu. And it included an antibiotic that doesn't even treat the flu. And this antibiotic in his case was called vancomycin. It caused acute kidney failure in 24 hours. And they kept pumping that drug into his body over the next 9 days, and it eventually killed him. And I knew that remdesivir was going to do the same thing that it did to my father-in-law just 3 months earlier, except he was about to unleash this on the entire country. And he said in May 2020, he asked our federal government to buy up all the reserves of this experimental deadly drug, ineffective drug at least. He asked our federal government to buy up all the stocks of this experimental drug and don't share it with another country until the end of 2020. And the reason why he did that was he needed a whole bunch of dead people in America killed so he could sell the American public on a vaccine campaign so the rest of the world would adopt the campaign for vaccines and believe the lie. So he needed our mass media to convey those numbers to the American public, create fear and panic around a virus that's not as deadly as the hospital protocols because of remdesivir. And I didn't know that inside of me was going to be this unleashed anger and protective nature to protect as many people around the world as possible from being innocently murdered, like my father-in-law was. But anyway, so the 3 months earlier in February 2020, that scenario with me in a hospital, being kicked out of the hospital, calling them out on their ill-advised protocols, that experience prepared me to see exactly what was going on in hospitals in New York in March and April of 2020. And they were using remdesivir in New York to kill all those people in New York. It wasn't COVID. And then the very next month in May 2020, Anthony Fauci says this is the only drug we're going to use. Now, fast forward to October 22nd, 2020. We already have 350,000 dead Americans, twice as many as any other country in the world from this pandemic because of remdesivir. And the FDA approves remdesivir. And then they start exporting it to other countries. Well, right now, America has 820,000 plus dead COVID-19 people. No other country even has 700,000. But Brazil has 600,000 plus. Guess what's the only drug being pumped in the veins of all Brazilian citizens since the first week of March 2021? Remdesivir. Ryan Cole, who's a medical doctor out of Idaho, here in the United States, he walked up to me at an event that we were both speaking at. And he said, Dr. Artis, to help your audiences recognize the name of Remdesivir and to remember it better, call it Run Death Is Near. And that is truly what it is. Remdesivir is a proven known toxin. It actually causes heart failure, kidney failure, and liver failure, and it's all published.
Okay.
Now fast forward, you've got England. They're using a drug called midazolam to mass murder and sedate innocent UK people. You've got Canada using midazolam and lorazepam. You've got multiple drugs using remdesivir that are all deadly. There's just a massive attempt to mass murder a whole bunch of people around the world. Since May 2020, I called this remdesivir hospital protocol Anthony Fauci's genocide. And he is by far the greatest serial killer in America's history, just so you know. Mm. Now he's taking it to the whole world. This isn't new. He's mass murdered people around the world with his AIDS drug called AZT in the 80s and 90s. But this is just the second time this serial killer's doing it again.
It's a nightmare. I mean, it is.
Oh, it is a nightmare. You're right.
It goes on beyond the concept. It just goes on. It's beyond belief. And I mean, that's the question that I have to ask you is, I'm speechless because I can't even imagine what it's like for you to know that and for it to be nearly 2 years down the track and it's still playing out. So
it's been overwhelming, actually. Every morning I wake up with this anxiety and panic that there's people around the world that I have to continue to alarm, alert, and bring information and data to them to help them make a better decision, a better conscious decision. And I'll just tell you right now, for anybody watching this, my entire attempt in staying in the media nonstop since May 2020 and to go speaking around the country, testifying before Dr. Rainier Fulmich's group in Germany, I was asked to testify before the King's Court in Parliament through a Zoom call. I mean, it's just been wild to bring this stuff to light. It has been an overwhelming attempt to try to get a lot of people's attention. And you need to know, the hospitals around the world are set up to be death camps. They all have protocols put in place now to destroy your patient's rights, your ability to have free choice and free will to decide what goes inside your body or not. So the drartistshow.com, for any audiences around the world, I'm sure it exists for your countries also. But there are advanced medical directive forms that you should get a hold of. They are on my site for everybody here in America and any other countries that can use them. They're created by attorneys, but this is an advanced medical directive on my site, the drartistshow.com, on the resources page for people who are members. If you actually create a username and password and sign back in, on the resources page at the bottom is a directive to physicians form for all COVID-19 treatment in hospitals. If you don't go in with that form, all hospitals right now are being incentivized to pump your veins full of remdesivir and to vent you. They're also incentivized for whatever reason. You decide you think you need to go to a hospital. It doesn't matter if you sprain your ankle or stub your toe. It doesn't matter. They are all incentivized and being paid lots of money by your government to PCR test 100% of all people that walk through the door. They are then given a 20% bonus if they'll just add COVID-19 positive diagnosis to any other diagnoses. And if they get a COVID-19 diagnosis, they're incentivized with a 20% bonus payout here in America by our Medicare age group, which covers all 65 years and older people. They are incentivizing all hospitals with a 20% bonus payout to inject remdesivir into all 65 year and older people here in America in hospitals. So they are all being bribed to use these protocols. And I promise you, no matter what they're using in Australia, they're being actually incentivized to use those same type of drugs. They might be using midazolam, lorazepam. They're using remdesivir. All these things are being circulated around the world now with one singular attempt. I've said this is an attempt to murder a lot of people. The actual Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal published in October of this year that remdesivir is proven to kill cells of the heart. And it's proven to cause blood clot disorders. It's proven to cause more heart inflammation, dramatically more than chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine ever does. So this is what we know. It also is proven in this study to cause cardiac arrest and heart block, which means you don't get nerve signals firing to the heart and you will die. So remdesivir is designed to be a poisonous cocktail in hospitals to destroy and stop the heart from beating. They can do that by shutting down your kidneys, liver, and your heart with that drug. They also are using an mRNA vaccine and a transgene vaccine around the world that is also published to cause dramatic inflammation of heart muscle tissue, cause blood clot disorders, strokes, and heart attacks. And those are the mRNA vaccines of Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson transgene shots. So there is a massive attempt here, Pete, for your audiences and for all those they love to inflict a massive amount of carnage and death in a lot of people. And if it doesn't occur right now, these shots are designed to inflict disease and harm and damage to cells in your body to create what are called autoimmune diseases. And over the next 3 to 5 years, you will see a massive amount of diseased individuals and death, even more so than what you see now.
I called this out.
So my job is to warn people.
I called this out. It must have been March or April last year. And I was ridiculed. I was kicked off Facebook, Instagram. We had 2 million followers. I appeared on our version of 60 Minutes in Australia on a conspiracy episode. A little bit of background for you. I used to host Australia's number one TV show for over a decade. So I was in the mainstream media, but also talked about health and nutrition. So I wasn't the bad kid in the back of the classroom, and I was calling things out. And one of the questions thank you. One of the questions I kept asking people is none of this makes sense unless you have the opinion or come to the conclusion that this is a scam, a hoax. And those two words don't really sum up what this is, because a scam and a hoax doesn't really sound too detrimental to one's health. But when I've interviewed people like you have over the last year and a half, the information that you just shared and others have shared, it is terrifying. And most people can't wrap their heads around that hospitals, doctors, the media, politicians, health bureaucrats could all be in on this. So my question to you is, does everybody know that are in those positions, or do they believe they're doing the right thing?
No, I believe there are some people on the lower levels, like the doctors in hospitals who are actually attending to the patients. I actually believe that they're just attempting to do what they're told. They're just going along with what their administrators are telling them are the protocols. As far as the people in government and the federal health agencies, they're in on it. I think they know exactly what's going on. I think they've been putting those positions around the world by a massive organization who has set out to do exactly what they're doing right now. So, I believe that the people that are in hospitals and the nurses in hospitals attending to patients who are actually administering these protocols, a part of me knows that they're innocent and did not create these agendas and protocols, but it's been long enough now, 2 years, for them to observe the amount of death and harm that these actual cocktails create over and over and over again. I find it shameful that they haven't come forward to display their disgust, stand up against administration, to stop the protocols. There's very few of us. I think even here in the United States, there's probably less than 50 of us doctors who were outright in the media projecting our concerns. Everyone else just seems to stay quiet. And I think most of them are in fear of losing their jobs or have some threats to their livelihood that are just too great to confront. And unfortunately, that's not an excuse. And it doesn't let me, it doesn't allow me to remove liability from them either. Not at this point.
Well, let's take a step back. Let's for anybody that this is their first introduction to you, Brian, what type of doctor are you? And why did you get into this medical field, medical industry, to be a healer?
Sure. Yeah, so actually, I'm a chiropractor, acupuncturist, and nutritionist. I actually took the MCAT before ever going to chiropractic school. I was accepted to multiple medical schools here in the United States, but I didn't go to med school. And the reason why was, the reason why I wanted to become a doctor in the first place is when I was 21 years old, my younger sister at age 11 was diagnosed with a condition called systemic lupus erythematosus. People mostly know that by lupus. It's an autoimmune disease that supposedly attacks all of your joints, cartilage, and organs. Only when my sister was 11, I was privy to attending the medical doctor's reviews with my parents over this condition because I was the oldest of the five kids. And my sister with the disease was the youngest of five. At 21 years old, I was able to listen to all these discussions. And at Scottish Rites Hospital here in Dallas, this is exactly what they said. Mr. and Mrs. Artis, we don't know what causes lupus. We don't know how to fix lupus. There is no cure. There's just these three drugs that she'll have to live on for the rest of her life to try to mitigate her pain. And those three drugs were prednisone, Plaquenil, and methotrexate. And when they said they were going to give her these drugs for the rest of her life, she can't live without lupus because they don't know what causes it or how to fix it. They said that the drugs over time would destroy her kidneys and liver because she was so young, starting out with this disease, that they told my parents she most likely wouldn't live into her 40s. They also said she would never have children because one of the drugs had birth defect side effects and stillbirth side effects. So this was the diagnosis she was given. And when the doctor walked out the door, my parents lost it crying, and I didn't understand why they were crying. This was the third hospital in 3 months, and I'm sure this was exhausting for my parents emotionally, trying to find someone to give an answer for why every part of my sister's body hurt. But all their emotions came out when the doctor walked out of the room, and I said, "Why are you crying?" And they yelled at me because I was being unsympathetic. And I said, and my mom said, "They just diagnosed your sister with a terminal illness, Brian." And I said, "No, they didn't. They didn't even say that. They didn't say lupus was going to kill her. They said the drugs they were going to give her, because they don't know how to fix it. They don't know what causes it. They're just going to give her these three drugs to reduce her pain. They said those three drugs weren't going to ever allow her to get pregnant and be a mother. And they were going to ultimately take her life over time by destroying her liver and her kidneys." And this was my response. "I'm not letting this medical profession kill my sister because they don't know what's wrong with her and they don't know how to fix it. That's just weird. There's got to be some other profession out there that actually looks for the underlying causes of disease." Because the reality was, at this point, my sister was 11, but 6 months earlier, she had zero pain. All of a sudden, pain creeped up in her hands and spread to her knees and her hips and her back and her neck. And every part of her body was killing her and she couldn't even move. So for the last 3 months, so something happened to her. I did not know what happened to her at that point. I just knew the answer was not the drugs they were trying to sell her. Something had happened to her. She was normal for the first 10 years of her life. Something happened. And for the majority of your audiences, for all of you that have been told you have a disease or a sickness or an illness, you all had a period of your life where you were normal and had no symptoms. Then something happened to you. What happened to you was not that you became deficient in the drug you're being prescribed. That is not what happened. But that's what they're selling you on. So I actually did not after a few years went by, when I was trying to get into med school or going to med school, I was an undergrad at Brigham Young University and taking the MCAT, preparing to go to med school. It just kept bothering me that the only solution the medical profession actually had for my sister was drugs. And these solutions were going to end her life early and keep her infertile, basically. So I knew drugs weren't the answer. So I decided I was going to go look at other professions to find out, are there other professions that actually heal people? Surely there's a way to heal people. So that's why I went off to chiropractic school, acupuncture school, and then studied underneath clinicians around the country who actually used more functional medicine. And I didn't care what the functional medicine was. If they were looking for the underlying causes, diseases, and seeing testimonials and experiences of them recovering back to full health without symptoms, that's all I wanted to know. So that's what I spent most of my life doing, was trying to uncover how the body works, how the body creates symptoms, how you eliminate symptoms. And you eliminate symptoms by removing stressors that come into the human body or on the human body. So that's why I am a chiropractor, acupuncturist, nutritionist. I have served 15,000 patients from 16 different countries over a 14-year career. I sold my practice here in Dallas, Texas in 2018, but we had patients from everywhere who just would flood our office from all over the world, because there's very few people who are looking for the underlying cause of disease and then can deliver real remedies. And the real remedies in life are always going to be those things found in nature. Why? Your nature. You're natural. Your body is going to use the things that are in nature to fix you. None of you have a disease because you lack a drug. Mm. I know it's a hard reality, but it's true.
No. It's perfect. You're actually the fourth chiropractor I've interviewed this week. And I've had the great pleasure of benefiting from chiropractic, acupuncture, nutrition, and the list goes on and on. And I've had the great fortune as well of interviewing many, many health professionals that are medical doctors like yourself, as well as functional medical doctors. And one of the common themes with the people that I interview, very much like you said, it's interesting because people say, you're interviewing a lot of doctors that speak differently from other doctors. I said, yes. I said, these doctors want to know the why. They don't want to apply a Band-Aid, like you said, with your sister. And they also don't believe that a diagnosis is a death sentence. It's just an opinion, pretty much. And I don't want to simplify it down to that. But why is it that there's... And you must have asked yourself this and probably been frustrated by it. Why is it that there's certain individuals in your field that get it while others don't? Because I interviewed Dr. Charlie Teo, who's a wonderful neurosurgeon here in Australia and also very controversial. He does brain surgery on patients that nobody else will touch that thinks they've got a death sentence. And one of the things he said was, doctors are very good at following orders, like you said, but to find ones that want to break outside the box is very rare. And I want you to take us on the journey of this discovery for yourself. And why is there sort of two sides of the coin in the medical world? And are you optimistic looking forward, or do you think there'll always be this division?
No, there's one thing that I think has become very apparent. I think more medical professionals would be more open to the reality of the things that we are discussing right now on this show. I think they would be and are than what we're led to believe because of their inability to act differently. I think right now there's too much in the way of censorship, threat of their license. I interviewed a pediatrician this morning out of Oregon who just lost his license last year for actually having a peer review journal publish a review of the data from his pediatric practice for the last 30 years. And what they found was that vaccinated children actually had more asthma, more ear infections, and more illness than the unvaccinated kids in his practice. And that just got published. And the Oregon State Board took his license from him and said, you can no longer practice medicine. It's amazing. It was just data. So there's a lot of people, I think, that are just threatened by their medical boards. They're threatened by censorship that's widespread throughout the world right now. I think a lot of them are afraid to have their reputations tainted or slanted. And I will tell you right now.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.